News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So it is election day, y'all. And I'm hoping that a lot of you have already voted. We've got some places around the state, and doesn't affect this listening area. But apparently Montgomery County had some issues, software glitches in some way, jacked things up. People weren't allowed to vote till like 7:45 to 8 o'clock, somewhere in there. And so they're having to extend the time for voting in Montgomery, which, you know, I saw Todd Stacey, a friend of mine that owns and runs Alabama Daily News. His comment on Twitter a minute ago was, that's a stronghold, or at least it has been a stronghold for Katie Britt. Is it going to see things, you know, sort of mess up the vote for people who tried to vote before work but can't get there again after work? That's going to be interesting. I don't know that it's going to have that big of an impact. But anyway, it's happening. We also have one precinct in Jefferson County where, for whatever reason, the ballots did not arrive. Who's in charge of that one? The ballots did not arrive at the polling site for the first hour, and so they've had to extend in that one also. You know, I chuckle, but, you know, dang. You look at it and go, come on, fellas, you had one job. You had one. But that's going on right now. So that's breaking news around the state in general. Doesn't impact this listening area at all. As far as I know, we've had no election glitches within the entire range of this audience. So if you haven't already voted, go vote, man. Go vote, lady. Get out there and hit the polls. Pick the candidate of your choice. Exercise that God-given constitutional right to do so. Not everybody in the world even has this opportunity, and it just boggles my mind when people get, you know, too busy. They don't get around to it. But, I mean, sick or dying. You better be sick or dying if you're not going to make it. Okay, there's that. Other breaking news. We just had a major Supreme Court decision come down. That came down just in the last hour or so, I believe. But in this particular case, and I'll talk about it more in a little bit later in the Triple Dipper, but in this particular case, we have a landmark decision in the case of Carson v. Macon, which is out of Maine, originated in Maine, and a 6-3 majority opinion. And I think the Chief Justice agreed with the majority on this one. Maine has a school choice program that allows for parents to have a say in where their child goes to school and take the tax dollars with them. And the state of Maine was trying to say, but you can't take it to a Christian private school or a religious private school. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States says absolutely not. You can't prohibit that. If they want to go to a, they want to take their tax dollars under your law, if they want to take a tax dollars scholarship program and go to a religious based Christian school, they can. And so that's big doings. Now, it came out of Maine, but that has nationwide impact now because that's the Supreme Court of the United States. So there's that. And I'm just looking around thinking, what else could happen today? Well, of course, we do have, you know, the January 6th commission circus. All three rings, the clowns are still doing their thing, and they're still going. Right now, they are... who have they got on the witness stand here on the big screen in the studio? Wandrea Arshay Moss, who's a former Georgia election worker. And from the look on her face, I can tell she's still reliving the horror of the day when she was accused of not doing a good job as an election worker in Georgia. Right now, Adam Schiff, who's always looks like a bobblehead doll to me. Anyway, but Adam Schiff is literally, you know, asking her questions, and he just had Secretary of State Raffensperger from Georgia on right before this witness. So, yeah, that's still going on. And, you know, who knows? But, you know, I did see this weekend, by the way, Adam Schiff says they've got the goods on Trump now. They've got the goods. I mean, he's got proof. Seems to me we've heard that from Adam Schiff again more recently or in the past. Remember Russia collusion? Absolute proof. We're going to prove our case. Where'd that go? Nowhere. So basically, if his lips are moving, well, you know the rest of that one. Okay. All of that, plus we're adding some things to the show today. Even as I speak, I told you that Brian Taylor, longtime friend of mine. We've known each other for 10 years at least. Brian and I served together in the Alabama State Senate. Actually shared an office suite together, sat next to each other on the Senate floor. Brian went on to be the chief legal counsel to the governor, and now back in private practice, he has developed the ability to handle election contests. And so he is actually the attorney for Kimberly Butler, who was on yesterday. He's going to provide a little bit more clarity on her situation, when and how they'll have to file things, what they're going to do this weekend versus what they're going to do once the nominee is declared. And then on top of that, he's actually the attorney in a different case, which I did not realize was even out there. I mean, this has been the year of the challenge, a challenging year to say the least. But anyway, that's all coming. So stay tuned. We got plenty on the show today. And then there's a triple dipper, and I'm going to start with that when we get back. How's that working for you? Yeah, I got a number of policies that the Biden administration has chosen to enact. Democrats are choosing to enact, and they're failing miserably. How's that working out for you? Yeah. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm in number one on the Triple Dipper coming up here. Time right now is 2:36, top of the hour. You're going to want to stay tuned. Right after the top of the hour break, I've got State Representative Andrew Sorrell, who is one of the statewide candidates. He's running for state auditor in the runoff with Stan Cook. And so that election is before you even as we speak. But Andrew Sorrell will be on the phone with us at 3:05. So stay tuned for that one. Right now, I'm headed into a part of the Triple Dipper. But I got to tell you, I do this every day. I love this show. I mean, I did not see this coming. I got to be honest. In this part of my life, I did not see this happening. A radio show? What? But it has grown, and so here's something I want you guys to know. Right Side Radio is hiring right now. We're looking for sales reps to work with Right Side's team, and we've got an ad right now at the top of the rightsideradio.org website. So if you're someone who would like to make a good income, set your own hours, have the ability to work with people, and also be a part of the Right Side team, then absolutely, we would love to talk to you. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and click on the contact and send us a message. We will get you on board ASAP. Right Side Radio is growing in itself, and we're adding people to the team. Right Side Radio is hiring. So, yes, sales reps, we're looking for you right now. All right, there's that. Let me just jump over now into the Triple Dipper. Number one of the Triple Dipper, how's that working for you? Well, there's so many ways I could take this, all right? I could run down about 15 rabbit trails, but tying them all together with one title was kind of a trick. And began to look and see, there's a policy gone bad. There's a policy that didn't work out the way they wanted it to. There's something they're trying to enact, and how's that going? Well, that became the thing, right? How's that working for you? That's why I called it that. And I've got any number of things. I mean, they put a narrative out there, and they want the world to believe it. Or they enact a policy, or they sign an executive order, or they throw a new regulation down, and we're all just supposed to go, woohoo, that'll work great. Except it doesn't. Well, okay. Listen, not the least of which is the fact that the President of the United States has got to recognize that what he is doing with his spare time is having an impact. And it's amazing how much spare time apparently he has. So right now, here's the first thing I've got. This came off redstate.com. Before I even get into the policies, let me explain to you one of the fallacies of the Biden administration is that he is actually in charge and doing things. Because there has never been anybody who vacationed more in office than this man. This is not going to be a Biden bashing session. I don't want this show to ever become just a gripe session. But I got to point something out because, you know, I know what it means to work hard. I know all of you do, too. I know what it means to say, you know what, I got to set aside that opportunity to, hang out on a Saturday or to just mow the grass and sleep a little later because I gotta work. I gotta keep the things going. So here's the deal. RedState.com reported a couple of days ago, Joe Biden is back on vacation in Delaware. He left the White House this past Friday at 11 a.m. and was not going to be back until Tuesday. That's today. I think he got back at 10 o'clock last night. It says, we wrote about how he managed some extra drama on his vacation because he fell over on his bicycle. You may have seen that video. The President of the United States, soon to be 80 years old. I guarantee you it was partly a photo op. He wanted to ride his bike by the group of supporters, and he tried to stop, and he actually fell over. It's one of those video clips. You know, stuff happens. You look at it and go, wow, dang, stuff happens. And that happens to people. It doesn't happen to presidents of the free world. All right. But here's the thing. The article from Red State says Biden's vacation numbers are as high as his approval numbers are low. He has now spent almost 200 full or partial days away from the White House. Says if he keeps up this same pace, he'll spend roughly 553 days away in his term. He spent the last four weekends in a row away. When you're running the free world, the luxury of time off is a luxury. And folks, I'm just telling you, he is literally, and by the way, then you look at it and go, what does it cost for him to hop over to Delaware and stay at his beach house? What does that even cost? Well, see, the narrative has been, don't worry, he's at work. He, no matter where the president is, he is fully engaged. Well, first of all, understand this. Biden's security detail spent $1.96 million on his 16 trips to Delaware this year. That's from White House records. Another nine trips are not yet counted, but they'll likely push the total of $3 million just for this year. Those 25 trips have been racked up in just 43 weeks in office. And the true price tag to taxpayers is even higher because the Pentagon has not released the cost for Air Force One and Marine One. Can you imagine? But on top of that, the White House's narrative has been he's constantly at work. Doesn't matter where the president is, he is fully engaged. Except that when he got a little prickly with the reporters this past weekend at his beach house, and he told them, I'm not talking to you right now, I'm on vacation. Okay, there's that. Well, what kind of things are happening? Well, first of all, 1819 News, Brandon Mosley, ran a story about things that Alabamians, like other people around the nation, are dealing with and what our Republican elected officials are calling on the Biden administration to do. Because the Biden economic policies right now have gotten us where we are. 8.6% uninflation, a 40-year high. Gas, all-time high. 1819 News, dated June 16th, so it's about, what, 4 or 5 days ago? On Wednesday, he says, this is last Wednesday, the Federal Reserve raised the interest rates by 0.75 points. Meant to counter inflation, it's also the largest increase since the mid-90s. And it says, it goes on to say, we're at 8.6 inflation. The Commerce Department reported that retail and food service spending posted a 0.3% decline. Retail sales turned negative in May as consumers pulled back on their spending while inflation surged. It went on to talk about other markets to include the fact that unleaded gas, this is last week, by the way, was at $4.43 a gallon. I paid $4.45 this morning. It's now running close to $5 on the national average. Offset by a 3.5% decline on motor vehicle and parts dealers, and miscellaneous store retailers saw a 1.1% drop in sales. All right, so Congressman Barry Moore of Alabama, a friend of mine, good dude, serves for Republican Congressional District 2. Anyway, his office reports that American families are on the brink of a financial crisis as they pay more for every good and service in their daily lives. Runaway inflation directly traced to Democrats' reckless socialist spending. See, here's the deal. They cannot stop themselves from spending. They're trying to find ways to throw money at the economy, to throw money at the American people. But when you throw money recklessly at it, at that point, you have cash, which makes the available spend go up, and yet you have supply chain gaps that make the opportunity for spend to go down. So you have an increased possibility of spending with a decreased level of goods to service that spending. You have what's called inflation. And we're there. And some are saying, by the way, that we're moving into recession. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville said on social media, today's national average for a gallon of gas is 15 cents more than it was a week ago, 58 cents more than a month ago. He says it's time for President Biden to unleash American energy. So let's look at it. Where's Transportation Secretary Buttigieg? Buttigieg is nowhere to be found right now. I think he's busy trying to get charging stations set up around the nation for electric vehicles that people can't generally afford. But Buttigieg is not doing a whole lot of talking about the supply chain. And then on top of that, you got Secretary Granholm, Energy Secretary, who laughs when she's asked, what is the plan for unleashing American energy? Literally laughed. But on top of that, it's the Biden energy policies. How are those working out for you? I'm asking you folks listening, how's that working out for you? Are you enjoying the Biden energy sector plan? Are you enjoying the Biden spending plan? How's that working out for you? Well, let's keep that one going. Daily Caller, dated June 19th, so that'd be just a couple days ago. Daily Caller says, Energy Secretary makes a bleak forecast, signals concern about gas. Oh, well, at least she's concerned finally. She's not laughing anymore. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm warned on Sunday while on CNN State of the Union that it will be a tough summer as she speculates that gas prices could continue to climb. The U.S. Energy Information Administration projected for its June short-term outlook that average prices of gas per gallon will be around $4.27 in the third quarter. I think higher than that. But on top of that, she went on to say, now, President Joe Biden's upcoming trip to Saudi Arabia, noting that Biden has asked for all suppliers around the globe to increase production, except in the United States, where we were energy independent a year and a half ago. How's that policy working out for you? But here's the thing. He is going right now to meet with the Saudi royals to ask them ostensibly to increase their production, to put more on the market in order to drive the price down. And yet, this is the same Biden who just not long ago promised to make the nation of Saudi Arabia a pariah because of his claims of, there was the Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi who was murdered. But he chose to go ahead and make them an example of everything wrong that Trump did trying to forge relationships with Saudi Arabia. He burned that bridge, and now he's going back to ask them for something. How are those Biden administration foreign policies going for you right now? Dave Ramsey, though, I appreciated Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, and by the way, like I said, this show is not going to be a gripe session. I'll point out the good, the bad, the ugly, but I got to make sure that the good's in there. Well, Dave Ramsey had a point. Dave Ramsey did an interview on Fox News the other day, dated June 16th. He points out all of these things that I've been talking about. And he says, when it comes to the American taxpayer, the American spender, the American consumer, he says, they're not going to tolerate this. Some of these left-wing ideas of socialism, just when you plug them into the economy, they just don't work on a practical level. This is Dave Ramsey talking. He says, Ramsey encouraged young Americans, though, who are feeling increasingly concerned, to look back over the economy throughout the years. He said, understand this, these things have come and gone before, they will come and go again. He warned the U.S. will likely see a recession, but he also suggested a larger perspective. He said, we got a lot of negative things going on out there right now. But if you pan back and you say, okay, over the last 20 years, what's it really look like? We've come through stuff similar to this, or as ugly and as depressing as this before. So Dave Ramsey pointing out, politics is often cyclical, and so are policies that go along with those politics. I got more on this, but that's enough for the economy side of it. Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. Let's do that right now. We will take that break and come right back, and I'll keep going a little bit more on this. How's that working for you? The policies that we are having to live under right now. Because in 2020, so many people decided to vote for personality over policy. Good gosh. How's that working for you? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, copper. Oh, copper. Copper, yeah. copper. So, after today, do we know for a fact that I will never have to listen to the always toting Jeremy Oden ad?
I hope so.
Is it coming out of the rotator? Do we have that thing? Are you jerking it out of there, like, tonight?
Yes, I think that's factual.
Okay. That does me well. I mean, you know what's crazy, too, is that that's an ad that has nothing to do with the position he's running for at all.
Yeah.
Nothing. He's running for the Public Service Commission, which deals with utility rates.
I remember his name now.
Yeah, I mean, always toting Jeremy Oden. I'm like, and I know Jeremy Oden, but if I was here right now, I would look at him and go, that's the stupidest commercial I have ever heard anybody run.
I'm sure he knows that.
You know, maybe he does. I think I said on the show before that former Governor George Wallace used to always say, as long as they spell your name right, it's not bad PR.
Right, no such thing.
Yeah, no such thing as bad PR, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, let's get rid of that ad. All right. Hey, listen, back on number one of the Triple Dipper for a few minutes. By the way, coming up top of the hour, after the news break, we're going to have State Representative Andrew Sorrell, who's running for statewide candidate as for our state auditor. He'll be on at about 3:05. But in the meantime, a couple more things in the How's That Working Out For You, which is funny because the title of this next article that I pulled is from National Review, and it's called How's That January 6th Blockbuster Working Out for Dems? Well, it's not, apparently. It's not moving the needle at all. So, real quickly, National Review makes note that something like 20 million people tuned into the opening night of the January 6th hearing. The supposed blockbuster video was going to change everything. And this guy goes on to say, three polls listed on Real Clear Politics quizzing voters started last Friday. This is dated last week. The generic congressional ballot has Democrats plus two, Republicans plus four. Republicans, anyway, all said and done, what it basically means is the numbers did not move at all. There was not some kind of sweeping, oh my gosh, we found the silver bullet. Look at what's happened. I am now going to call myself a Democrat. Nothing's happening like that. Nothing. 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 How about other policies you and I are dealing with? Story off of the Federalist. Also dated for June 16th. Why are all my stories dated June 16th? Anyway, the Federalist. Biden's border crisis yielded the highest number of border arrests ever recorded. Now, I will say this. I've got this section called How's That Working Out For You? With regards to like policies, regulations, actions being taken by the administration. But is there really even a policy on the border right now? I mean, I guess you could call lack of a policy is their policy. Doing nothing is their version of doing something. Their version of handling the border is ollie ollie income free and everybody comes flooding across the Rio Grande. But it says here in the Federalist dated just this past Friday that approximately 239,416 illegal immigrants were arrested trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border in May. Just in May. In May, almost 240,000 illegals were arrested. This does not count the ones that were what they call gotaways. This does not count those that they thought they saw but they couldn't catch. The two-decade high beats out the previous records, which were also, by the way, in March and April of 2022, all on Biden's watch. Since the beginning of the 2022 fiscal year in October, border officials have logged at least 1.5 million arrests. That puts us on track. If it puts us on track right now to see more than 2 million arrests at the southwest border, I'm telling you, folks, it's because of the repeal of certain Trump policies. It's because of the sort of the sense of the all call that the Biden administration has made to the international community, and I'm just telling you, it's just. How's that working out for us? Not really. I will also say, too, that what's happening, though, with stuff like that are things like what we saw down in Texas this past week. Townhall.com, one of the sources that I pulled from. You may have seen it. Republican Myra Flores, a naturalized citizen, Mexican-born naturalized citizen of the United States, just won as a Republican in Congressional District 34 in Texas. It's the first time in 100 years, the first time in 100 years that a Republican has taken that seat in Congress. How's that working out for you, Dems? Policies are going to be a bloodbath for Democrats in November. I'm looking forward to it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we got State Representative Andrew Sorrell running for state auditor. He'll be with us. Y'all stay tuned.